Today's scripture comes from the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Reagan. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Tommy. Beautiful worship this morning. Thank you, congregation, for lifting your voices in song as we celebrate what Christ is doing in us and among us here at Pittman Park. Today we continue our sermon series called See, Hear, and Know as we're traveling through the letter that John writes called 1 John. We're in 1 John chapter 5 this morning. To be honest, I've really struggled with where to begin this morning. After all, this week gave me a lot that I could have talked about. Today, again, is Cinco de Mayo. Yesterday was Star Wars Day, May the 4th, right? So may the 4th be with you. That's right. That's right. Lift your lightsabers. I'm kidding. It's a whole thing. There's a major trial involving a former president going on right now. There's inflation and the economy. And we finally got around to holding the long-delayed 2020 General Conference of the United Methodist Church. So there's no shortage of things I could talk about. But I want to share with you what I think is most important, the thing that might actually make a difference for you and your faith this week. I actually think that that's what John was trying to do when he was writing the letter that we know as 1 John. He's writing to a community that's in crisis, a community that he helped to found and to nurture in the faith, first by giving them the gospel, the story of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and establishing the community of faith, and now by a letter of testimony and encouragement to strengthen them in the midst of crisis. The crisis that John and his community are facing is one in which some are denying that Jesus is truly the Messiah. They were denying that God put on flesh in Jesus Christ. These people didn't believe that Jesus was fully human. And because of this, some members of that church, that community there in Asia Minor, present-day Turkey, have left. They've gone astray. And so the community gathered there at the church seems to have been confused, afraid, and really unsure of what to do. Some members are leaving because they no longer believe. So that those who were left were asking themselves, well, then what should we believe? How should we react? What should we do? Aren't those always the questions that come up when we find ourselves in crisis? What should we believe? How should we react? What should we do? Whether we're experiencing a crisis in our lives, personally, or in our family, or in our community, or even in our world, those are always the questions. What should we believe? How should we react? What should we do? We've all asked those questions from time to time. I can remember when my Addie was just 2 years old. For some reason, from the time she was two until about four and a half, she struggled with recurrent staph infections. We traced the first infection back to a spider bite, and that spider bite would require surgery. And that was traumatic enough for really two new parents who had just completed a move and brain surgery and a whole host of other things. But the subsequent infections that we really couldn't explain, they threw us into a crisis. Every time we saw a bump on her arm that began to swell and feel warm, our lives were completely disrupted. We were filled with fear, and those moments caused us to question everything from what was in our house to even the advice that the doctors and nurses were giving us. One Tuesday morning, I found myself, after having gone to the pediatrician with Addie, with another spot on her arm that was warm, I found myself sitting in an infectious disease doctor's office at Memorial Hospital. Again, we'd been to the pediatrician, but we had no answers. Addie was sitting in my lap, and she was burning up with a fever, with that swollen spot on her arm ringed by black Sharpie to track the progress of the infection. I'm not sure I've ever felt so helpless, so confused, as I did when I was sitting in those plastic yellow chairs they have in the office. I was in a crisis, a real crisis. I didn't have any answers, and I didn't have any direction. So I did the only thing that I knew to do. I began to pray. Not any sort of profound prayer, but just a simple cry to God for mercy for my child, for her healing, and for answers. I began to practice what I had preached to so many. I began to do the thing, the only thing, that I knew how to do in that moment, because I didn't know what to do or what to believe or how to react. Friends, my prayer, it didn't lower Addie's temperature. It didn't cure the infection. It didn't get the doctor to see us that day. In fact, we were told that the doctor would most certainly not be seeing us. What it did do was remind me that Addie was loved by God, and so was I. It reminded me that we belonged to God, even when we felt like everything was falling apart. It reminded me of who we are, whose we are, and it renewed my faith and my trust in God, even in the midst of the crisis. My desperate prayer in the doctor's office, it didn't change the reality or the circumstances of the crisis, but it did change me. John's simple and confident response to his church in the midst of their crisis is a lot like that. He writes to them saying, "You know who you are. You know who you are. You know whose you are. And you know what you've been told from the beginning. You know the testimony that we've shared with you. God's own Spirit reminds you of what is true." That's a message that is as relevant today as it was when John first wrote his letter. John is saying, whatever the crisis, whatever the odds, whatever the controversy or calamity, there is no need to panic. There is no need to argue. There's no reason to lose sleep. Friends, we are God's children. And if we are God's children, then in every situation in life, in the ups and the downs and every place in between, focus on living your faith. If we are God's children, then what have we to fear? If we are God's children and members of the household of God, then what could ever stand against us? Because God is with us and for us. Friends, no matter how you feel this morning, God is in control. Even when your life is out of control. Even when you don't feel like you've got it all together. In our polarized and divided world, in our world filled with conflict within and without, a world that seems more anxious every single day, I wonder if we might not need to hear those words too. You know who you are, Pittman Park. Don't you? You know who you are. You know whose you are. And you know what you've been told from the beginning. God's own Spirit testifies to you, reminds you of what is true. And if that's the case, then in every season of life, we should trust what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, what we have known of the God who loves us enough to die for us and calls us to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Not only that, we should focus on living out our faith because God has everything under control. Thank you. Thank you. I don't say that to say calm down. I say that because I hope you'll believe it. Because it's true. That's the promise in 1 John 5. Let me read it to you again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone who believes. Everyone. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Let me rephrase that to you because this is 21st century English that we're speaking. John is saying, it is our faith in Jesus Christ that overcomes the world. It's our belief in the life, death, and resurrection of God's one and only Son that transforms us and opens up the doors for eternal and everlasting life. The victory, friends, is found in faith in Jesus Christ. Who is it, John says, that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. The promise is there, friends. Everyone born of God, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Our faith in the saving and redeeming work of Jesus Christ on the cross overcomes the world. It overcomes every crisis and controversy, every trauma and tragedy. It overcomes our fears and our failures. Friends, if we are in Christ, we are overcomers. We are overcomers. Because we have faith. We are children of God. Holy and beloved, our faithfulness to God, it might not change our situations and circumstances, but it changes us in moments of crisis and fear. Our faithfulness strengthens us and gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, as the hymn says, but not because of our faithfulness, but because of the faithfulness of the one who calls us from death to life, the faithfulness of the one who calls us his own, the faithfulness of our God, who would not abandon us in our distress and fear, who would not leave us in our sin and death, but has rushed to our aid. Friends, the most important thing for you to hear this morning, the most important thing for you to know this morning, is that if you are in Christ, you are a child of God. That is who you are. That is who you are. And all it takes to find yourself in Christ is a simple act of faith to say yes to Jesus' offer of salvation and new life. That decision, again, it may not change your circumstances, but it'll change you. It'll fill you with hope. It'll give you peace that surpasses understanding, even in the midst of crisis and pain. Because you, friends, are God's own. And our love. You are loved by a God who does not abandon his own. Holy Communion, friends, is a reminder of that truth. It's a reminder that we are invited, no matter who we are, to receive the mercy and forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us, the grace that makes us new. I don't know what it is that you're facing today, what crisis it may be, real or imagined, that you're going through.
But I do know that at this table, Jesus reminds us of who we are, whose we are, and the Spirit of God strengthens us for the journey ahead. So you, friends, are invited, no matter who you are, to this table of God's grace. You are invited to this table by the invitation of Jesus Christ himself to taste and see that the Lord is good. You are invited to experience his grace and peace. Today, your life can change by a simple act of faith, by knowing who you are, whose you are, and by trusting in the message of the one who was sent from heaven to earth to save us. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord, we give you thanks for today, for the opportunity to be gathered here into this place, for the reminder through the bread and cup and Holy Communion of just who we are in you. And so we pray now, God, as we come to this table, broken and flawed people, that we might give our lives once more to you, that we might be transformed once more by you, and that through our lives and hearts being transformed, that our world might be transformed as well, and that your kingdom might come on earth as it is in heaven. This we pray in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.